I tell you, we have to be quiet all the time. But when we get going, one good thing that's come from sorting out my gut health, mate, is like I've picked up a cold, and it's lasted like a day, and all of a sudden you go, yeah, that's going.
Yeah.
Like a day, you're like, oh, I feel a bit shit. Oh, it's gone. Whereas last year, I didn't realize that would be with me a week.
Mm.
You know, like a week of.
I did try telling you though.
You did try telling me, yeah. But
I'm actually starting to realise I'm one knowledgeable motherfucker when it comes down to wealth, mate. I have gone to the deepest rabbit holes and plucked out some serious roots.
I've gone to the deepest rabbit holes and cut out some serious roots.
No, cut out the deepest roots.
Oh, right.
You get it?
You're digging the rabbit holes.
Well, the rabbit hole's already there. I'm just using it as access to get the roots. I didn't dig the rabbit hole.
Philosophy with Ben.
The information was already there.
If you were a philosopher, can you imagine that back in the day?
Ooh.
I have dug the deepest rabbit holes. I am rabbit holing. I found the hole and I have dug a new one. I have burrowed.
There'll be two like things on my gravestone like Seneca. It'd be, I have been to the deepest rabbit holes and took the roots. And the other one was, don't be fucking strawberry when you're really vanilla.
I always say this, but are we live? Commissioner Gordon says yes, he's in. So Ben, welcome back. I've missed you. I haven't seen you for a while. Enjoy our chats. They're therapeutic for me. They're inspiring and insightful. It's the new year. At the time of recording, we're moving in out of January into February. And I'd love to know what's been going on for you. What have you been working on? Come on, tell me.
Oh,
tell the people. Tell the people at home what be.
Are we breaking it down like our style, our performance, professional, personal, no. Projects. Or
imagine we're sat in the pub having a chat. Yeah. I would be drinking a pale ale.
Yeah.
The local one. None of that fizzy shit.
Yeah.
Nice. You're drinking probably a porn star martini because I've seen you drink one before.
Come on, I'm an IPA. Or maybe a flavoured gin.
A flavoured gin. And I'm like, what have you been up to? And you're going, eh.
Yeah, well.
What have you been up to?
Looking after my ma, obviously, number one.
Yep.
That's one hell of a fight. Ups and downs like a roller coaster, but we're winning. It's all good.
How are you navigating that, the business of the schedule?
Well, I spoke about this the other day, actually, an Unbreakable. I was saying, look, you have a certain capacity, right? And we're busy guys, you know, family, business, looking after ourselves, the rollers, husband, dad, you know, and then somewhat a pillar in the community. But when life lives people, I think what it brings is extra stress, extra pressure, right? And someone has to give. Usually what gives is we push ourselves to the back of the queue.
Yeah. You've upped yourself, haven't you?
Well,
I'm seeing that.
I think in terms of up it, yeah, but I think the quality of it and being way more consistent, like there is just zero non-negotiables. I ain't got time to play around with small talk, deal with little issues, things that don't move the needle, you know, all these type of things. So it's created a discipline in me that I just ain't got time for shit that isn't priority or important, which is now massively benefit.
For some context, quickly, that's because your mum's unwell, right?
Massively unwell. And I'm dealing with, there's so many moving parts in it. You're dealing with doctors, you know, I have to schedule a week, which was, you know, something that through trying to do this all by yourself and doing it without no plan and real schedule was causing a lot of friction and causing a lot of unnecessary pressure to me and my brothers. But, you know, we take on the belief that, well, we've got to suffer here because my mum's suffering, or we've got to struggle here because my mum's struggling. And you kind of start dropping your standards and try and give more effort. You know what I mean? I said this a while back. I was like, actually, you don't drop your standards. You got to match the effort.
Yeah.
But I also knew that the energy that was required to do my best for my mum, because that's the thing I said to her, mum, which way do you want to go? And, you know, when I say to someone, I'm going to fight for him, well, I'll fight to the death. You know what I mean? It's as simple as that. And they had the morals and values that my mum has embedded in us, in all of us, to say. But the crazy thing about that is I won't drop them standards, values and morals for my mum either. And there's been some tough, challenging situations where we talk about controlling things that are in your control, right? Well, you'll only really test them boundaries when the shit hits the fan, you know, finding the appropriate level of care, you know, being able to make tough decisions when you've only got tough decisions on the table or tough options on the table, protecting your own energy and understanding actually, you know, I can't sacrifice, or I can't have too much energy spent in certain areas of my life because I also knew that it poses a risk to other parts, right? I've still got bills to pay. I still have looked after my kids. I've still got roles that are massively important. And trying to navigate that sometimes, that alone can pivot you in the wrong direction. You know, you start justifying that bullshit. Mm. You start justifying them stories. Hey, you know, well, because I'm doing this, I'll have to sacrifice this. And what I wasn't willing to sacrifice is myself, you know? So I just knew, no matter how tough shit got, the one thing that I couldn't put to the back of the queue and pretty much had to be at the front of the queue was my well-being.
Yeah.
But as a result of that, I've seen some next level growth. You know what I mean? Like what I've learned from this is what I'm really capable of.
And very often we don't know what we're capable of until we're put into the situations that
100%
that require it
100%.
To come out. Yeah.
So, you know, it's unfortunate, you know. I mean, it's this situation with my mum.
Do you ever feel guilty about, you know, get hit in the gym and
not one bit
when you got other things? Oh, maybe I should be doing that.
No, not one bit. Maybe if we started at this point, but because we've worked hard on that, right?
Yeah.
Because we know, hey, this is my gym time. It was a big, when we first got into this, you know, I massively transformed my life. I knew if I got away from the streets, if I went in a better direction, if I started taking responsibility for my health, stopped playing a victim and all this nonsense, then I had all the only plan I had then at that time coming out of jail was faith, a faith that there was a better way, right? Mm. But remember, I got to a point here, was like, I'm doing well. I'm in a gym. I'm head coach. I've been handpicked to open this brand new gym. I've got demographics from the general public all the way to professional fighters, footballers. Like I'm in the zone. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is, you know, I've got a beautiful family, beautiful wife. And I was like, man, I feel worse than when I fucking started out. I don't get this. And that's where, you know, when I come, firstly to that, where we first met at that event where yeah. I rocked up and paid in
you
cash.
Funny enough, you were in a similar tracksuit.
Similarly, yeah, maybe the same tracksuit.
Well, as you've told me off camera, jacksuit.
Jacksuit, yeah. You know, trying to figure that out really was because...
So yeah, you were saying basically before we had a chat about the clothes, you hit this position... Obviously, you got a lot going on with your mum and prioritising yourself. You know, when I first met you, you got off the streets, done really well, and you hit this position where you're like, you just felt worse than ever. Why was that?
Well, I started thinking when I was working that hard, I was feeling guilty because I wanted home. When I was at home, I was like, man, I need to be back here.
I think that's the thing, the guilt. That's why I asked you that. I knew you wouldn't really feel guilty about prioritising your well-being, I think. But I think it's a useful thing for us to talk about sometimes because... the guilt people feel in prioritizing or looking after ourselves sometimes, that we should be doing other stuff. You know, something he's doing in the house. Oh, you know, the dinner needs doing. Or, you know, I should be doing something on my business. I'm a bit behind there. Or I should get some extra hours at work. Or I feel bad taking time for myself. We know that attitude, that mindset leads to destruction down the line, 100%. Doesn't it?
And I know what that is. I know what that tastes like.
So you know that your mum's obviously very unwell, you know, as well and well as you can get. And I'm seeing you like organising her care, you being there, family, brothers, but still running your businesses, still really contributing to Unbreakable, looking after you. I was like, whoa, there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's testing your bandwidth, isn't it? No
100%,
doubt.
Yeah.
But you got, you know, you're working... That time for you is what allows you to do that, isn't it?
And that's the difference between me and you, mate. We ain't just theory.
Mm.
You know, we're in an industry now that's full of theory. When people in industry, people say, hey, this is how you make 10K under grand a month. And I'm like, mate, you're still living at home with your mum. You're asking if the internet's on and you're trying to give advice about, you know, we've got the scars, we've got the medals, we've got the skills. And that's what's massively helped in this. It was like, you know, I know you said a few times, look, if you need time off, I'm like, this is where I perform at my best, mate. The front line. I am calm and composed in the chaos. I contribute to this because it's also a way of me dropping that
it's
level of care.
Keeping some stability as well, I imagine.
And, you know, imagine the effects, the benefits of me going, I'm going to fully immerse myself in coaching something I love. Some days I've had that much challenge. It's been that difficult. Most people would go, listen, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to take the easy route and not show up, right? I remember there was a time where my, it had been a tough day with my mum. I'm about to coach. I'd usually always have 5 minutes, as we do, get ourselves ready, get ourselves in character, usually a bit of breathing, whatever techniques, get a little bit composed, get myself primed for the role I'm about to play. And I just didn't have time. So I opted in for, I'm going to do it live. I'm going to show the power of 1 minute. And I'd done a breathing technique for 1 minute, right? And I said, can everyone feel that? They're like, yeah. I said, that's what I'm saying. That's the power of sometimes giving yourself permission for 1 minute.
Yeah. Well, yeah? This situation, not that you'd ever wish it on anyone, actually has improved your coaching immensely, I think. And it's improved your organisation. And it meant all. I remember talking to Jason Kane about training to do the Kokoro camp, Navy SEALs, HAL, 48 hours. Mm-hmm. That's tough. That's not a piss about it. That's not everyone qualifies. He was the only one to finish it out of all those people. And I said, what did you learn? He's like, do you know what? I learned more from the preparing for it. I realised I used to tell myself I was training hard. I was training as much as I could. But actually, that wasn't true.
Yeah.
Like, I realised I can train a lot harder and I can train a lot more. Like, I can make it work.
Yeah, yeah.
I was kidding myself off a little bit.
Of course.
And I think sometimes you don't make the adjustments you need to do to you in the situations that make it happen.
Yeah.
Well, like, your organisation wasn't great, was it? Let's be honest.
Well, no, but it wasn't where it's at now, but it was enough that it would maintain a decent level of progress,
yeah,
right?
But now,
like, to the
imagine
average job, people would be like, Jesus, that is a decent level
but
of organisation.
Bringing this level of organisation to life anyway.
But that's why I'm making progress.
Without a doubt.
You know what I mean? Like, you talk about...
What is your big thing this year? Come on. What is it? What's your big goal? Personally? Forget professionally.
You know, I've been in this game a long time, and to have a bigger impact is essential for me, because if I ain't making an impact, one, from a business point of view, I've got other options on the table. You know what I mean? I'd probably make 10 times the amount in this industry that I would think. But that's the reason why I've probably not as been financially successful in this industry as I should have been, because I was more interested in the impact. You know, I'm the guy still rocking up in corners of the world that no one believes exist. I'm still trying to help out, right? I'm still the same person. I have a conversation with people that only a certain caliber would be able to relate to him, because I've been through this shit before. So there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that I do because I'm so armed now that gives a richness in me that money could never give. But from a time and energy perspective, this has now got to align, yeah? I completely believe in Unbreakable. Not only have I been your apprentice for a very long time, but your sergeant of arms, and also rolled you as far as I can go. And, you know, our morals and values are so aligned that I understand that it's actually a gift that we've got. And if this wisdom dies with us, then the next guy like you, or the next girl like you, and the next guy like me don't get an opportunity like I did. So I see it as a responsibility. So it's taking that a bit more serious and probably doing it in a more effective way, where for a long time I was just going, I'm just going to rock up and give a lot of value, expecting people to come to me.
Yeah, of course.
And what's crazy about this, though, is that when it comes down to packaging deals and offers and putting stuff together, that's what I've always been great at. But when it comes down to this industry, and it started really in personal training, you pay me an hour, you're there an hour and a half later.
you're my boot camp. I think this is the thing where people, we make this mistake often. I think a lot of people make that mistake. Like, what is impact? You've got to measure impact as well. What is impact? You know, how do you measure impact? Something worth thinking about, isn't it?
Yeah, for me, it's going to be an easy calculation. It's the amount of people that I convert. Do you know what I mean? Which can then be...
And by that, you don't mean in a cult fashion.
No. It'll mean a conversion in from people into... Well, I mean, the thing would be, metric would be money, right? If I see money going up, then I'm obviously having a bigger impact.
In many ways.
And that's where we're different. I mean, from a cult point of view, we never teach from a point that we're trying to make you believe or convince. We teach from a place of real knowledge and real experience.
Yeah.
And
then what's the personal goal for you?
Well, the personal goal for me, mate, is that I've been in some good, great condition for a while. Through the path that I've gone down in finding alternative methods for my mum, which we had to, because there was nothing for my mum, right? You have a 2 months, rare 8 months later, so something's working. I really uncovered the issues with parasites, which is a big topic, right? That most people ain't aware of. Probably one of the leading causes of most underlying health issues.
Probably do a show on it at some point.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. No, we should do, actually. We will do. But I want to cleanse, yeah? And I really want to push myself in a physical, if it's a personal physical one, like I've never done before. You know, I know we're talking about our own physical program situated around everything that we do, not just the physical side of it, but the mental aspects of it as well. And the other thing, from a family point of view, I've already got it knocked out apart with a few holidays, but I want to convert my garden.
Yeah, you keep saying about this.
A massive garden. And I'm already in steps. I took a big tree down, which I felt really bad about.
Oh, you cut a tree down, Ben.
You know what I mean? I'll knock a guy out in a ring, but feel bad about taking a tree down. It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I made use of the wood. We're ready to do some barbecues with it. We got cherry wood. We got all that stuff.
So you really are talking about this year, personally, get fit, test it, get healthy, cleanse the shit out your system, professionally make more of an impact. You're rolling into February. I think a lot of people listen to this of either, you're in a few camps, you've either got going, like, I'm flying out the gate.
Yeah.
You're like, I ain't got going at all.
Yeah.
Or I've got going, I'm falling off. That's the only three positions to be in.
Yeah.
A lot of people probably fallen off, maybe not got going. And I suppose the question is, what I'm interested in is what have we both prioritized in January? I know I personally prioritized, I've had to prioritize my health, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I never come out the gates. Well, actually, that's a lie. Sometimes I come out the gates in January, bam. But other times, like this year, I wasn't clear. So I was like, I need to spend time clearing the decks. I had a lot of little things to sort out. Mm. Professionally sorting out different, you know, clearing the decks, sorting out different situations. Personally, it was like this health thing where, you know this, I've been on like this parasite digestive health.
Yeah, it's working, right?
For a reboot. Yeah, it's been great. It really has. But I haven't hit the accelerator. Like, do you know what I mean? That was what I would call an unlocking move. It was like, before, I want to be in the best shape of my life by my next birthday.
Beautiful.
And then the reason I picked that date, because I think it's really important to pick meaningful personal milestones. You know this.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like, in 90 days time, I'm going to have done 40 gym sessions. I think it's all bullshit.
So you're saying meaningful as in your personal goal?
Personal goals.
Professional
I always have milestones because I think goal setting came heavily from the business arena.
Mm.
So where do you want to be at the end of Q1?
Mm-hmm.
Q1 is like the end of March for me. I don't give a flying fuck what happens at the end of March. It's pretty much irrelevant. Mm-hmm. It's an arbitrary date.
Yeah, yeah.
In business, maybe. I can run in
100%
quarters.
100% quarterless, yeah.
But if I'm going to pick a meaningful destination to be in shape by, it'll be my birthday, which is towards the end of the year, September. I remember I shared this on a High Performance Mind Live last night.
Mm.
I remember looking in the mirror on my last birthday, coming back after a cruise, after the year I'd had of all that shit. I'd been eating shit because I got in bad habits because I was trying to look after my little boy and, you know, mum wasn't there, yada, yada. And it all bled on, got busy with work. And I was like, I've let myself slide here a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I don't want to look like this on my next birthday. Maybe some people go, oh, you look great. That's fine. But I didn't think I did.
Mm-hmm.
I felt bloated and sluggish and shit. So the ideal thing for me is this birthday, I'm going to wake up on my birthday and remember it's my birthday and go, am I in better shape? Am I in the best shape I've been? And I've got a picture of what I was like when I was in my best shape.
Nice.
Because I didn't find it. It just kind of cropped up somehow. So it's like, that's a meaningful day.
Not by coincidence,
I think a lot of people fail their personal goals. Yes, many reasons. But from the start, they just set like smart goals.
I know.
And and it's habit based. I think, you know what, pick a meaningful date.
Yeah.
By my kid's birthday, by my anniversary. And if you haven't got meaningful dates, make one.
Mm.
As in, like, I'm going to go here on this day. And when I, you know, maybe I'm going away for the day. And by then I want to have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think meaningful personal milestones are better goal setting targets, from my experience of working with people, than just arbitrary dates.
Mm.
Because you went to the seminar and they said, in 90 days time, because they're signing you a fucking 90-day course.
I know.
So it makes sense to have a 90-day time goal.
Mm.
Hey, what's 90 days anyway? Is it, you know, it's just a quarter of the year.
I know.
So for me, and I can break it down, I can say by March the 24th, my little boy's birthday, you know, I want to see some meaningful progress there. I certainly know I want to be stronger and lifting well by then. So that's my aim, is to get in the best shape. And January, I've just been, rather than coming out the gate and training hard when I've been unwell, I've been like, you know what, I'm just going to get my system working. Full system reboot. Digestively, immunity, which is one and the same thing, really. Mm. That's where I've been putting my focus. I think a lot of people fail, not because they're not good enough, and because they don't know enough, they're not trying hard enough. Like I said to I asked a chat a lad a question, he's probably listened to this on a coaching call. He said, I finally give up smoking after all these years. I said, how did you do it? He said, do you know what? I actually did it a different way. I was like, what do you mean? He said, I realized I've been trying to give up smoking the exact same way all my life and it never worked. But how many people are trying to get in shape the exact same way, pretty much, and it never works? How many of us are trying to overhaul our mental well-being the exact fucking same way we tried last time?
Yeah.
And we just convince ourselves we need more accountability.
I know.
Fucking hate that word.
I do. Fuck. You need accountability to change your whole life, and something's wrong in it, or to make some change. And
it's what been bastardized.
I don't know, mate. If I was to put it in what I've been saying, it's a accountability that you are sharing with someone else what you want to do, and maybe it hook lines you where you go in fear of failure of letting them down, right? Or be looking a dick. Your own ego is keeping you in. Like, I said I was going to do this and they know about it. So because I've told them now I have to do something. That is where I first seen accountability play up, right? That you must go on Facebook and share what you're about to do and no one really gives a fuck.
Well, I think ultimately, I look at it. I think support is vital.
But that's not accountability though, is it?
It's what do people mean by accountability? If you ask them, what do you mean?
Yeah,
they probably go, oh, I just want someone to help
to
me.
What I'm going
to
say
Well, maybe you're looking for support then.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think when someone says to me, Si, I need you to keep me accountable to my goals, I'm like,
that's
but you
point.
Need to set some better ones.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
That I think more skillful, better goals. Sometimes we're looking to pass the buck of responsibility. If we mean truly, I want you to make me do it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, you need to go back, rewind, set some better goals, and also consider, why do you want somebody else to make you do it? Like, is that a way of looking to pass responsibility to somebody else? Because let's be honest, I think when it's sold, I mean, I'm a big believer in this, when it's sold as like a big factor in coaching, I think it's very often used to keep people there because you create a codependency. If you've kept me accountable to my goals this year and I'm afraid, well, I've fallen off the wagon because I've got no accountability. A lot of people use that. It's like, I've fallen off the wagon, I've got no accountability, so I need to get back in there and get some accountability. It's like, what a sales mechanism.
That's a great point.
It should be all coaching. There should be an end for me where you can choose it. You don't need it anymore. If you want to stay in communities, incredible.
Yeah.
I recommend that to everybody. But it's nice to veer off, to have the relationship so you want to be there. And that if you're not there, your life doesn't fall apart.
Yeah.
Because that's a bit of dependency. And I think that's dangerous. I think that's... Are you actually changing and transforming as a human being if you need somebody to keep you doing what you're doing? At the start, we probably all need that support. But eventually, I think it should be like, hey, I need support. As that support goes on, it's like, I don't need support, but I certainly need advice, you know, want advice and guidance.
Yeah.
I think eventually you move into, if you're in a community where you're somebody who's very actions as supporting other people, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, we see it within our communities, right? 100%.
Yeah.
And I think language is being manipulated for that, you know? Like, because that is what really people want, guidance, support, education, maybe different perspective, maybe your view, but fundamentally, in our style of coaching, the choice is ultimately theirs, right? Ultimately theirs. Nothing's forced, nothing is manipulated in a way for our gain. If you want to come in, cool. If you don't want to do it, cool. Mm. But let me tell you the risk and rewards at least. Let me tell you the benefits, because that's the everyone wants to want, right? But never one knows how.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of goals are falling short, because it's like, that seems attractive at the time. You feel good about it. Let's say, for instance, what we've seen in the fitness industry, what are getting good shape? Cool. Reverse engineer that and let's map out the steps of what's going to take to get where you need to go, right? Because this is going to get challenging. Without them steps, without the clarity around that, without the skills, the techniques, the knowledge, the support, the guidance, you ain't going to make it. It's as simple as that. Because as soon as the shit is the fan, you're going to go back to the old, what do you say you've taught as well? You go back to your baseline level of training.
I think the gap between where anyone is now and where they want to be is a skill gap.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a skill gap.
Uh-huh.
And that should be refreshing.
Yeah.
So, hey, there's a gap here and it's, you're missing some skills. Mm-hmm. And the huge skills that most of us are missing are mental and emotional skills.
Yeah.
We don't, that's not what we want to hear, but it is the ability to regulate your emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, the ability to think freely, to not get caught up in your own bullshit, to overcome that, you know, to see through your thoughts, so to speak. But if we can really train up those skills, actions tend to be inevitable from there because everyone knows what to do.
Yeah.
But we don't do it. What's blocking us? Yeah. The way we think, the way we feel.
Yeah.
Our strategy, our calendar, our environment. Well, if you tidy those things up, actions seem to roll.
Yeah, in alignment with the direction that you're going, right?
Yeah.
Well, this has been something people have been asking me. It's like, how the fuck are you doing it? Expecting me to come out with some massive theory or this massive example. I'm like, it's that skill, mate.
Yeah.
It's this habit. It's this routine. It's this process. How are you making such difficult decisions with a difficult situation? Well, a decision has to be made, you know? And this is how I unpack it. One, I don't try and work this out in my head.
No, get it down on paper.
I get it down on paper. I see it for what it is. That's fundamentally been my January. It's been with me, with my wife, with some of my business partners. I've been like, look, straight away, what's your SWOT analysis? Let's go. Let's unpack this. Let's get a big, broad picture. What's working? What's not? What's a threat? What opportunities we've got? Great. What was great last year? Here's where we're at. All right, going away. Personal, professional, what direction you're going, what's important. Not some pick out the air shit because it sounds good. Some meaning, purposeful shit. Like, you get to be the architect and the builder of this life, right? So which direction are you going? And being able to slow that down, fundamentally, I think timing's also essential. You know, my wife's been around me a long time with this. I actually got in trouble because remember one time I was coming home and I'd always just offload to what I've learned out of excitement, enthusiasm. One day she's like, what's wrong with me? And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, you keep coming home telling me to do this shit. And I was just like, even from a place of love, she's not, there's no buying for her, right? But all of a sudden now this is making sense.
And also all advice then was, that was you telling you. This is what I need to be doing, but I'm telling you.
Give it your all. But the timing's right because now, our goal for the first 10, 13 years, which was to like, hey, we're going to work in a way that you will nurture and nourish our kids. You will do it in a style that you want to do. You know, we've worked hard for that.
Yeah.
And got it there. You know, we've got our lovely, we've got everything that we've really aspired to. Looks nothing like how we wanted it to. It's better. It's not a five-bedroom house, a three-bedroom house.
Does anything figure out?
No, but that's my point, man.
How you want it to be.
Yeah. A vision is in a goal is in a predictive future, don't exist. We know this, right?
Yeah.
It is a destination. It is imagination. It is something that you're creating from yourself to go, this is what I want, right? Maybe manipulated in that way or maybe just something that you want. So when you hit it and it looks nothing like how you do, you start to realize it was never about the vision. It gives us a sense of direction. What really mattered was this journey, the steps, the actions, the obstacles, the setbacks, you know, all the things that have brought us to this point. 40 years old now, what I would say that is very, one of my greatest resources is just how wise I am, how aware I am.
I love that.
You know what I mean?
I am a wise man.
I just know because I've never looked at myself like this. But it's what reflection, doesn't it?
Yeah? I'm not taking a mic, but you were talking about, you had some frankincense earlier. Yeah. You one of the three wise men.
Come on, like, yeah, there you go. Me, you and Martin, three wise men. I've got the frankincense in my bag.
You get frankincense. Yeah, what do I get? Murph. Well, I had a dog called Murphy.
Well, maybe not, I'm a wise man.
Gold.
Maybe the wisdom.
Gold.
Yeah. The Mark's definitely gold.
Was it? Hang on, my biblical skills are great.
Frankincense, myrrh.
Myrrh.
What the fuck's myrrh?
I thought it was Murph.
Murph, it might be.
Myrrh. What is it?
No, it's Mark. Myrrh.
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 Myrrh. Myrrh. Why have I called it Myrrh?
In a Doncaster accent.
I had old Spaniel myrrh. Called Myrrh.
Myrrh.
Yeah.
Myrrh. Yeah, yeah.
Don't know what it is.
Well, Ben is a wise man.
Well, it's just some wisdom again.
I'm sorry, Ben. Carry on.
Nah, I tickled your balls with that one.
Tickled your balls. Hey, well, the thing is about me, mate, you may think I'm vanilla, but I'm sure.
Mate, I've said wisdom about five times now. Maybe not as
well. Who are you, Chris Williamson?
Sure am. The wisdom, you know, the life experience.
Man, I'm lost now, I'm sorry. I'm lost on the three wise men.
Yeah, definitely. I've ruined your point. Okay, let's settle this. Three wise men. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Yeah? Yeah? I'm definitely frankincense. You can be gold or myrrh. Which one do you want to be?
I'll be myrrh.
Right. Mark, you're gold. Maybe we find a baby Jesus somewhere.
You know, I want a new hat. I want one of those fucking things.
Maybe you can get one of them like...
What are they? I'm trying not to be disrespectful to another culture. Don't they wear like a...
Yeah, it's
at school, I had like a tea towel on my head or something, didn't I? With a,
yeah,
I'm just looking at Mark now. I don't know, just talking to. He's like, oh, "What the fuck are you on about?" I wasn't even listening.
Google that shit, bro.
Yeah. So you're a wise man from
experience, and also wisdom, realm of resources. I'm tapping into your wisdom. I mean, I'm ignorant, you know. I get it from my own kids at times, you know.
You find kids, we talk about this a lot in every episode, they are a good source of learning.
For sure.
You know what I mean? I think what we're saying is, hey, if you're going to set a goal, make it a good one. How do you make it a good one? Make it something that at least means something to you.
Mm.
I think people rush too much. I made that mistake. You know, I got to set some goals. It's January. I set some goals. Here we are. I'm setting some goals. I'm doing some stuff by March. I think if you've got to set your life up to help you win as well. You know,
well, that's your strategy, your game plan.
Set your life up. Well, like if you're trying to squeeze, if you're going, well, I need to get fit, so I'm going to do 5 gym sessions a week now, and that's my plan. It's like, really? Like, how many did you do last year? Oh, none.
5 all year.
Well, it's just that's a little bit unreasonable.
For sure.
I always say this, that if you have a lot of goal failure comes from too little patience and too high expectations.
Yeah, I love that. It's nice.
It's like you're going to now all of a sudden live like an athlete and you've got no patience about the results.
Mm.
You're going to get shit wrong. I know, like you were saying, your goals look nothing, now you've achieved a lot of them over the years, look nothing like they actually looked.
Mm.
And I think you're right in a sense, it's never about that. It's often about how we want to feel. How we think we feel for landing. Yeah, I knew you were going to probably...
Well, I just know it was I'd hit it because that was the feeling that I was looking for. So the feeling was like, actually, yeah, this is how I imagine it would feel. You know what I mean?
I've always wanted to feel free.
Oh, you know me about freedom.
Freedom. Like any time I'm penned into something, I'll tense up, like emotion. Do you know what I mean? I want to experience freedom.
Free bird.
And I think that's what I listen to a lot of. If you look on social media, if you look at the people sometimes that get all the interaction, a lot of it will be the ones who show their wealthy lifestyle possibly in social media.
Mm-hmm.
People want to be like celebs.
Mm.
So they're like, oh God, look at them on all these stuff, cars and holidays and clothes. I've got nieces, I get it, you know. And so then celebs can usually afford that. The average person probably can't. So then they think, oh, it's all about this material stuff. So they buy it. Oh God, they're in debt. Yeah, not everyone, but just, you know, make a scenario. And then they don't feel any different for it. The novelty of the new thing wears off.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we're really looking at and going, wow, is probably not, for me anyway, not the material things. When I look back at my life previously, it wasn't the material things I was like, oh, in awe of. It was the fact they had the freedom to do it.
Yeah.
They had choice. Like I never had the choice. I never had the money, say, at that time or... And it's I think it's the freedom they display a lot that attracts us, not the actual material thing itself. So I want goals that if they don't make me feel free, I don't think they're going to be for me. So maybe that's goal setting in lines of values. Like, what do you want out of this? Like this show is a goal of all of ours and Mark, producer Mark, AKA the Stig, AKA Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne?
No, you're not about this Batman geezer.
No, AKA Die Hard.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, let's get it. But if it doesn't, excuse me, it's a platform is what I'm trying to say for me to express myself and feel free in my views. If I feel confined, it's not going to be serving its purpose for me.
Mm.
And it's the same physically. It's like, do I feel... free physically. I remember last year feeling almost a bit like I didn't feel physically free. I couldn't put my finger on it, but you're like, I feel a bit like I'm restricted physically.
Mm.
I don't want to feel like that.
Yeah, great point.
I don't want to feel restricted. My goals can't... I have to set that with the end in mind.
Mm.
And how do I want to feel? Free. An element of freedom there. So, okay, does this help me feel free? Not really. It's a chain. Oh, well, maybe it doesn't get done.
Mm.
And I think setting goals around, I again, use the show as an example. Mark sat on my sofa and I said, yeah, let's do this. But the minute it gets in the way of my family, it's sick, shit needs to change.
Mm.
It's okay, now we know the rules. Now we know the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're setting goals, possibly it's useful to look at it as a game.
Oh, 100%.
What do I want?
Yeah.
You know, how long am I going to play this game for? I'm going to play this game for the year.
Uh-huh.
Great. What am I kind of rules with this? How do I want to do it?
Yeah.
How do I want to play? And I think if you set up from the start like that, probably a lot of better goal setting than, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just going to want to get fit in 90 days time.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to get this, same goals last time. And I'm just going to get after it and work harder.
Mm. Oh, that works.
But that's a lot of the advice out there, same old peddled stuff. So I know I've certainly learned.
Right, would you say?
Mm?
You know, like people, it's vagueness. And just to touch on what you're saying now on freedom, I think the sister of freedom in this has to be flexibility, right? Not too much where, you know, you don't do shit. But a lot of these goals that are set, they're militant, you know, fitness one, if I look right, it's all gone to shit. I've looked at some processed food, that's it, it's all over the show, right? It becomes so militant that it becomes so restricted that the very thing of trying to find freedom actually starts backfiring on you.
Exactly. Yeah. What do we teach in the academy?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, here's the routines, you know, and those routines build up over time. But it's like, have a routine A, a routine B.
Yeah,
what do you mean? Well, when you got loads of time, do that.
Yeah, optimal.
When you ain't got much time,
minimal effective goals.
Do that.
Goals.
Yeah. Is that all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a bit like precision nutrition. I love them. They're eating stuff. They're like, eat this the majority of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Eat this some of the time.
Yeah.
Eat this minimally, not never eat that.
Yeah.
And you look at it and you go, well, am I eating the minimal stuff like most of the time, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, with routines, it's like, hey, you got loads of time, do that. Not much time, do that. Rather than, not much time, no, do fuck all. Having the either ors is brilliant as well. If I don't, then I.
Oh man, that's a game changer.
If I don't hit my morning routine, then I.
That's what
go for a
really
walk on
got
my lunch
me
break.
All this stuff with my mum. You know what I mean? Sometimes restricted, I can only get 20 minutes. Well, I'm breathing in between tips, runs, you know what I mean? I'm just, at any point that I'm sacrificing my optimal routine, I'm placing it out through the day. You know, like you say, if you don't win the morning, it's a tough morning. You got the afternoon, the day. People write off the whole year because I've had a shitty month and start blaming, I'm having bad days and good days. Like, you need to change the language on that nonsense.
Mm.
And going back to the actual goal setting, I remember specifically this one lady when she came to the gym when I was a PT and she says, I want to look like this girl, right? Who was shredded. I said, listen, no problem, I can get you there. But are you aware that this is going to happen, that's going to happen, there's going to be a point in this that you probably won't be able to socialise, your diet's going to be really restricted.
Yeah. You'll be person going out,
weighing
your food.
Your periods are probably going to be all over,
like
weighing out food, all this shit.
Yeah.
You'll be cooking stuff for your kids, you won't be able. She was like, I don't want that. So I said, what really do you want? And she said, I just want to be happier. I said, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now we're getting to the point.
What does that look like?
Yeah.
To
and
you?
Now we can work. Yeah, happiness. What does it look like to you? Well, you know, and it actually worked out that she was feeling like she was losing relationship with a partner. She was obviously then fast forwarding where this could go. And because we actually addressed it, and this is a problem, you will never address what you really want if you're not going to, one, give yourself permission, and two, be real with the actual thing that you want, right?
Yeah, I like
you're
it,
too
yeah.
afraid to be honest with yourself.
And you can't be vague.
No, can you? Well, a lot of the goals are vague. I want this. A young lad the other week was speaking to him, what do you want to be, a billionaire? How much are you making now, son? Well, so let me mum's. So you want to be a billionaire? I love your ambition. Break it down for him. What's your next step? This kid has been so brainwashed that life and freedom, flexibility around that.
Social media.
Will come from being a billionaire. Listen, young man, do you know how... Do you know the challenge ahead to be a billionaire? Yeah, I know you may be up for it, but
not
the
many
reality
people are
is
a
what?
Not many people are a billionaire.
No, exactly. But the point
and
being,
you'd flip it back. Hey, what will you be doing when you're a billionaire?
Exactly.
Oh, tell me what you're going to be doing. I don't know.
Exactly.
I'll figure it out. It's almost people say, "I want to be a better parent." All right, what does that look like? Oh, but we're not used to deciding how things look like to us. I want to be super fit. All right, how's that look?
But it goes back.
That can be different for everyone, right?
Bang on, and it goes back to all right. You want to be fit. And then you'll tell yourself some bullshit why you want to be fit. But really, if you were truthful, you're insecure, you don't like the way you look, you don't like your performance in the bedroom, you don't like how you look in clothes. And it's what I say to people, although that sometimes can be very difficult and sometimes emotionally turbulent, yeah? I have so much respect for that because what you're doing is being honest with yourself. And at that point then, you can start to really articulate your plan.
And I think honesty is crucial. And also, it's not judgment based.
Nah.
I think that's a difference.
It's reality based, isn't it?
It's like, I don't feel great in myself. I feel like I've put weight on. I'm lacking. I'm struggling with my confidence. You know, I've let myself go. I'm eating some shit. That's maybe true. The problem is when you start flipping towards, and it means that I'm useless. Uh-huh. I'm letting myself down. It's like, hey, hang on. You're just beating yourself up.
Yeah, mate. Hold up. Well, this is where support and community comes in, right? Rather than accountability, because unfortunately, that is the path that you must go through. We all have been through this. I remember being that 17 stone, 22 years old. You're having problems with, you know.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. You can't be too hard on yourself. I think people are so hard on themselves.
This modern day.
That I'm of the opposite, and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to encourage you to be less hard on yourself. But I think if we're circling back round to start wrapping this up around goals and visions and the year ahead, it's useful to set them from a place of what do I want it to look like at the end, rather than just what do I want? Mm. How does that feel? You know, how does that feel? Mm-hmm. How do I want to feel? Like, these useful things. What are my rules of the game?
The flexibility.
What am I willing to do and not to do?
Yeah, I love that.
What's the rules? How am I going to play this? Ultimately, when you know how long you're going to play it for, hopefully personal milestones make sense. Maybe people can do that. Once you know that, hey, ultimately, I want to play it this way. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got some rules here. Here's how it's going to work for me. I think, and give yourself more time than you think you need and more flexibility. Yeah. Have a little, you don't just have, this is what I do. Have, this is what I do, but I also do this. Have a sliding scale.
Yeah.
Because, in fact, Arjuna asked me a question, which was like, what do the people you see transform the most have in common? I said, patience, stay in the game longer.
Persistence.
Really. But also I think, and one way to do that is just give yourself longer to play the game.
Yeah, don't restrict yourself in a time frame, but if you don't hit it, you don't. That's what's, it's a good point you're making there, because it was like, Ben, you're in decent shape. How long have you been training for? 18 years, pal.
Yeah.
18 years. We're at a maintenance level, mate.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
And you've probably done a lot of hard work in those 18 years at certain times, scaled back certain times, 100%. Not done much at certain times, but you've stayed in the game.
100%. But if you look at the ups and downs, this is why, you know, I'm doing my apprentice in trading at the minute. The reason why I love this industry that I'm in is because it is psychology, 95% psychology. Those lines that you see on that screen is human behavior, right? Yeah. But you've got something like what they call going long or going short, you know, it's going north or it's going south. You'll see lines going up and coming down, the market breathing in and out. And its trajectory, it's going off, right?
Yeah,
but
it's trending, going up and down. That's the key,
it's trending.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a trend trader. Well, in people in life, I trend in the life, right? If people to look back, especially people who feel like I've not, because that's the challenging thing that we see where people struggle so much to meet people like us in our programs. We're like, do you know what it takes to get to this point, as hard as it's been for you, being unskilled, no awareness, no guidance, no support? Give yourself some credit.
But also they expect an upward trend. We all do it.
Yeah.
I remember getting into this thinking, well, I'm going to meditate. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to do my journals. I'm doing it all. Perfection. That is the routine I need to do. If I don't do it, oh my God, I'm going to feel terrible. My life's going to fall apart. No, not true.
Well, but you're hitting the trend line.
Also,
still
I've had a bad day today. I've had a good day. I've had a bad day. I have a good day. Mike, analysing ourselves all the time because we want to be doing well. The reality is, like trading, people's emotional well-being will go up and down.
Exactly.
Like their body weight.
Uh-huh.
But if it's trending in like, I'm actually on the whole feeling less shit than I used to, or slightly better than I used to. Some days I feel worse, some days I feel better. But we live in the peaks. Terrible day, good day. It's the trend. I mean, if you can see, it's the trend.
100%.
It's the trend that matters.
Oh, absolutely.
Is it trending in the right direction? And I think that's where you need to give yourself time. Mm-hmm. If someone's listening to us thinking, oh, I really want to overhaul my well-being, my mind, my emotions, which people come to us for really in our other work, give yourself time. And there'll be people on your social media feed. Be harder on yourself. Fucking create some accountability and urgency. And I would do that with people who are in good spots sometimes. You need a nudge. But if you're just getting going and you're at the base level, you're like, man, I'm just getting going all the time. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. Give yourself time. Give yourself a bit of space. Find some compassion that you're going to fuck up. You're going to do all right. You're going to have up and down days. Know it's part of the journey. And if you give it time and keep doing as well as you can consistently, the things that are useful more often than the things that aren't. If you do the stuff you should, you know, that's beneficial more than the stuff that isn't, you know, do that most of the time, do that some of the time, you'll trend in the right direction.
Yeah.
And that's all we're looking for, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And if you think how complex a human mind is and emotions, and yet we expect it just to respond like a, I did this, my brain does that in a way, like, oh, but I did my morning routine. Why don't I feel great today? I don't know. It could be a multitude of factors. You know, if you had about, I fell out with my husband.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There's one. Yeah. And I was tired. I was up all night. There's two. But I did my morning routine. Yeah, it's not a cure-all.
Yeah.
Like, but if you keep doing it, you're trending in the right direction.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what will probably has been the difference in us, right?
It doesn't sell. Look at trading. If you say to someone, hey, give me some money and in 5 years' time, I'll give you X amount back, loading more. Does that sell, or does the thing sell which goes, hey, give me this money and in 7 days I'd have 500x'd it? Where do people go?
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Usually a lot of bullshit. High risk, you know.
Oh, massively. Calculated risk.
High risk, where it's like, it's a flipping hell. That's high risk stuff. Mm. That's going to sell much easier.
Do you remember us being in that room when, I can't remember the guy speaking, he said 1% in this room will make a difference, we'll go out of here. What did he say? You remember it better than me. Remember, it was in that,
we'll take the information,
do something with it. Well, two guys definitely did something. We was in that 1%, right?
Maybe who else would it be? About 300 people.
I can't think of anyone else that was in there. Can't remember. But so, I don't mean you was in the room, but my point being in it, that percentages in life is not, it's bigger.
The
majority of people will trend in the right direction.
They will. I believe
and even when it's tough, you're trending in the right direction.
And life, you know, you imagine that, it's, you've got so many so many other factors at play, and we've got to wrap this up because we're going over our episode time. But got so many other factors at play, and that's why a lot of resolutions fall apart, because for a while we can use our willpower and our discipline to keep to this, but then kids get ill, work gets busy, oh, bollocks, I haven't seen much progress. And all of a sudden, all those factors that are closing in on your new routine cause it to fall apart.
Mm.
And that's why it's important to build in patience, flexibility, adaptability. And so I think that needs to be done, but also building in goals based around your values.
Nailed it. Yeah.
If you can do that, rather than just some arbitrary numbers figures, you're going to go way further on. So anyway, that's the end of that, Ben.
No, I think we need to do a part two.
We're going to do a part two next one.
Progress,
what it takes to make progress.
Cycles.
And I would like to share all of my top tips for making progress on the next one. You like the milk tray man today?
Box of milk tray man. Never look this up.
Oh, brilliant.